Thank you so much, choir. What a great message, amen, in Christ alone. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning and go to Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew chapter 7, and let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to pray this morning that God would do a great work in all of our lives. I'm going to pray that God would open up our understanding and help us to comprehend this message. And if you're lost this morning, I'm going to ask you, if you would, along with the saved, to pray that God would open up your understanding and understand the gospel so you'd be saved today. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Lord, we thank you so much for the day. And thank you for each person here. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Son of God who came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We thank you, Lord, for the work of the cross, the resurrection from the dead. We pray, Father, you bless now our study. May it be profitable. May it be led by the Spirit. May the power of God be manifest in the service. We would ask this morning, Father, that you'd open up all of our understanding. I know that Jesus did it for the disciples time and again during his earthly ministry. And Father, you do it for us. And Father, especially for those who are lost, that they'd understand the gospel and be saved. And Lord, whatever is keeping some from Christ, we pray that today that be resolved in their heart and that they would repent and believe the gospel. Now, Lord, you know all of our needs. We trust you. We ask your presence be real. And Father, we worship you in this hour. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 7, and notice verse 24, please. The Bible says, "And therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." I want to repeat that. I want you to listen closely to what Jesus said. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, now watch, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his what? For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Thank you. May be seated. This is known as the Sermon on the Mount. It is chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. And it's called Christianity 101, Basic Christianity. How God's people are to live. Chapter 5 opens up with what is known as the Beatitudes, verse 3 through 9. Chapter 6 deals with praying and fasting. And not like the religious. The religious hypocrites, what Jesus calls them in chapter 6. We find in verse chapter 7, verse 1 through 4, about the importance of proper judgment. Judge not, lest you be judged. And God is not saying that we shouldn't make judgments, but rather that if you have a beam in your eye, and you're trying to dig a little splinter out of your brother's eye, that take care of the beam first. In other words, if you're going to judge, make sure that you're living right. Then he mentions in chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, about the straight gate and the broad way. And notice he says here, "Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go thereat, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." And then we find in chapter 7, verse 20 to 23, Bible says, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Notice these words here. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devil, and thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So we find here our text opens up in verse 24, where God says in verse 24, therefore. Now Jesus is coming to the end of the sermon. A lot of things have been covered. Now he's drawing the net. Now he's dealing with the lost, the false professor, the religious hypocrite. And he's dealing with them, and he says, therefore. And he's about to conclude all things here, and he does with a parable of two foundations. The therefore is used to reflect upon what was said and what will be said. Again, verse 13 and 14, entering the straight gate. The warning against the wide, the broad way. He mentions verse 15:20, the warning against the false prophets. And there are many false prophets who've gone into this world. Beloved, you may know this, of course, but maybe there's a few who don't. It's because a preacher on TV has a Bible, and he seems like a nice guy. Doesn't mean he is. Doesn't mean he's preaching the truth. You say, well, he says he reads the Bible. It's not just what he says, it's what he doesn't say. And I'm telling you that there are a lot of false prophets and false teachers on TV. Remember, the Bible says that Satan makes his ministers appear to be righteous, to be holy, to be God's men. And they're Satan's salesmen. You remember that? That's very important to understand. And then God goes on and says here in verse 20 and 23 about false professions or empty professions. And then again, therefore. Another thought is that we're not to fool ourselves by claiming salvation and living a disobedient life, not keeping God's commands. The Bible is very clear that saved people seek the Bible to find out what God expects of us so we might live an obedient life. Now, take your Bibles, put a marker there in Matthew 7, I mean that, and go with me to Luke chapter 6. We'll be going back and forth. This is another portion of Scripture was recorded of Jesus making a statement about this parable. And it just reads a little different, but I want you to see it because we'll be using it. So Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now see, that's what a lot of people do. They say, Lord, Lord, and they live a disobedient life. Bible says in John 8:31, if you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Obedience is a fruit of conversion. Acts chapter 2:42, there were 3,000 saved. The Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In other words, they didn't get saved and go back to their own false church. They didn't get saved and just live the way they wanted to. They got saved and they continued in the word. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. Now, obedience to God's word is a good sign of conversion. The Bible says in 1 John 2, verse 3 through 4, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments or his word. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandment is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So notice, if you would, here in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which hath built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. For he that heareth and doeth it not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. Now notice there's three things that stand out in the story here in Luke chapter 6 and Matthew 7. And the first is that, notice the comparisons. There's two houses. The houses represent lives. Your life, my life. Lives. Men and women. Young people, lives. And the house is built on one of two foundations. It's built on the solid rock, a sure foundation, or it's built upon the shifting sand. And we find here that one represents a saved person, and one represents a lost, a religious person, but lost person. And notice the comparisons here. They both heard the words of Jesus. In Luke chapter 6, the Bible says here in verse 24, Luke chapter 6, verse 47, "Whosoever come to me and heareth my sayings," notice verse 49, "and he that heareth and doeth them." So we find, doeth not. Then Matthew chapter 7, let's go back there. Matthew 7 verse 24, "Therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," and then notice verse 26, the Bible says, "and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not." So we find here where one was considered wise and one was considered foolish. Now these words were not used by Pastor Graff or some other preacher, but rather the Lord Jesus Christ. So the man who built his house upon the rock was a wise man. The one who built it on the sand or the earth was a foolish man. Now, why would he be foolish? Someone tell me. No one knows? Why would it be foolish to build a... Thank you. We have a woman who's going to answer this. Yes. Right. Sand shifts and moves. It's not what you build a house upon. You have to have some kind of a foundation. Thank you, Holly. I'll give you men a chance to redeem yourselves this afternoon. I'll ask you a question like, what did you eat? Or something like that. So we find here that they both heard the word. They both built houses. And that's important. They're building lives. They're building their own life. So my question to you today is, what is your life built upon? Well, you say, "Preacher, when I got out of high school, I went to college. I got a good education at such a college, and I took philosophy and business, and I built my life upon certain principles. I'm successful. I made some money. I have a nice place to live. I got a nice family. Blah, 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 blah." That's not good enough for eternity, my friend. A lot of wealthy people are in hell. The Bible says it's impossible for a rich man to be saved. Unless Jesus intervenes, because they trust on certain riches. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. "And by their fruit you shall know." Just watch their life. They live for Christ or they live for self. Do they profess one thing and practice another? That's usually it is with wealthy people. And I'm not against wealthy people. I'm all for them. But I'm just saying what the Scriptures say. There's great warnings, and very, very few times in preaching today where people deal with that. But there's warnings against riches. Not saying that we have to be poor, but there's warnings because riches can deceive you, give you a false hope, a false security. We have to be wise, the Bible says. The Bible talks about the parable of the sower and the good ground hearer, which was one to say, but there's a thorny ground hearer. And one of the things that caused that one not to be saved was the deceitfulness of riches. So we find here this man builds a house, and they look similar. They look like the same. Notice verse 28 in Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew 7, 28, and the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, that people were astonished at his doctrine." That's not what I want. 26, here it is. And "everyone that hear these sayings of mine doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand." There's a similarity there. They both built something. And the same storms come into their lives. Notice how Jesus said it here. He says that and it's both cases. The floods came, the rain descended, the flood came, the wind blew, beat upon the house. The one built on the rock was unmoved. The one on the sand, it fell. It fell. There were similar homes from the outside, and yet they were very unsimilar on the inside. See, just because something looks like the same doesn't mean it is. Now, this would be a shock to probably some of you, but not everyone sitting in these chairs and in the rows are saved. You may be looking around like, "Oh, where's the heathen? I don't see anyone who looks like a heathen." Well, heathen can really polish themselves up at times. It's not what we look like, it's what we are. And let that sink in today. It's not that you're wearing a suit today, or a tie, or a sports coat, or you're dressed up, or a dress or a skirt. That doesn't make you a Christian. That has to do with your appearance. But what you believe and who you trust right now dictates whether you're a child of God or not. If I called some names out today who I know personally are not saved by their own testimony, their own lives, some of you would be floored. You say, I never knew that. I thought she was a Christian. But it doesn't mean that how we appear that means that we're a Christian. It's who we are. It's who we trust. It's who our lives are built upon. Amen. So notice the comparison. Notice the contrast. Go to Luke chapter 6, please, verse 48. Notice the contrast. He's like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it. Why? Was founded upon a rock. See, it's interesting. I've been ministering for 27-something years. I've been in ministry, and it really is amazing to me. When the sun's shining and the skies are cloudless and there's a soft, warm breeze blowing and there's money in the pocket of the purse and there's no problem. Hey, man, I love the Lord. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven and so on and so forth. But let a trial come in our lives. Let something go contrary. Let a storm arise. And then all of a sudden you see who they really trust. Their hope is built not on Jesus' righteousness and His blood. Their hope is built on themselves. And so when the storm comes up and shakes that house, they kind of fall apart. Why? They're not built on the sure foundation. They're not built on Jesus Christ. You find here that this one who built his house upon Jesus, notice one thing different than in Matthew. The Bible says here that in verse 48, he's like a man which built a house and dig deep. Dig deep. This is not our age. Our age is an age of lightness. Now, you can have credit now. You can buy that thing now. You can order your hamburger and just drive around to the second window and have it now. If you went home, it'd take you 20, 25 minutes to put the whole thing together. It's speed. It's surface. I like it. That's our age. I like it. Doesn't matter who the person is or what they're doing. I like it. Shallowness. Lightness. A surface. No depth. I mean, think about all the communication going on today, and how much depth is there? Everyone's on a phone. Everyone's texting. Emails. Texting. Phone by. And what are they saying? I remember last time in Bangladesh with Brother Nathaniel, he said, everyone in Dhaka talks, but no one's saying anything. It's the truth. It's the way it is in America. It's a static. It's noise. It's surface. There's no depth. Superficiality. Most people don't dig deep. They find out they're lost. They want to be saved right away. I want to be saved. I'm not opposed to that. But do you understand your condition as you go to Luke 14? Do you understand your condition? Do you understand what it is to be lost? I don't want to be lost. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to miss the rapture. Amen. Those are good motivations. But did you dig deep before you got saved? In other words, I'm not saying you had to wait years. I'm not talking about that. The night I was shown how to be saved, I got saved. I didn't wait. But the point is, did you dig deep? Notice Luke 14, verse 28. The Bible says here, and which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it. Lest haply, after you have laid the foundations, not able to finish it all, that behold, it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Why? He didn't count the cost. I remember as a young father living up in Grand Forks, North Dakota, I didn't have money, but I worked a barter deal with a lumber yard. And I said, I'll clean your carpets. I had a machine, and if you give me wood. So we worked out a deal, and I bought the wood. I was going to build a toy box. And it was on the front porch of our house. Now, guess what I didn't do? I didn't draw out any plans. I didn't figure how big it was. I did it on the fly. So how dumb can you be? Listen, I can tell you some stories. All right, I qualify for that one. When I was done building it, it was so big you couldn't get in the house. My wife thought it was a coffin. So I said, if you survive the moon, you may wind up in it. Well, no, I didn't say that. But anyway, the point is this, is that I didn't count the cost of the size, where we're going to place it, how big it should be, how small it should be, how it's going to work. I just built it. You know, people need to consider the cost of salvation. I know it's grace. I know it's free. I know it's a gift from God. But are you willing to repent? Are you willing to serve the living true God? Are you willing to forsake your idols? These are things we have to ask ourselves. And this man here in Luke chapter 6, he dig deep, the Bible says. Notice if you would, chapter 9, just back up a little bit. Chapter 9. And notice if you would please, verse 57. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as they went in their way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. That sounds great, doesn't it? I mean, you like a man like that, wouldn't you? Lord, I'll go anywhere. But watch what happens here. Verse 58, Jesus said unto them, foxes have holes, birds in the air have nests, Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Here's what Jesus is saying to them. Look, the animals have better off than I do. And you may lose everything. It may be God's will for you to be in a very difficult place, be in a comfortable place. You willing to do it? You willing to do God's will? And then the Bible goes on and says, and he said unto another, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead, but go and thou and preach the kingdom of God. Another said to him, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home in my house. And Jesus said to him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So we know this deal is salvation. And these two statements that are made, where the Bible says, first, let me go and bury my father. His father wasn't dead. There's a phrase in Judaism, the Jewish culture. I'll go as soon as I bury my father, I'll go. The second one said here, the third one rather, said, let me first bid them farewell. That wasn't mean he's going to say goodbye and leave. It was a long process. Jesus said, I want you to go now. They said, we'll go, Lord, but on our terms. If you don't go on God's terms, you're not going to be saved. You understand that? Jesus said is that a man who's putting his hand to the plow. Remember, you had the plow and you had some cattle sometimes, some oxen, a horse, a mule. He said, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back, he said, you're not fit to be saved. You can't be double-minded. You come to Christ, it's Christ and Christ alone. It's all Jesus. So the man who built his house upon the rock, he dig deep. He thought that thing over. I mean, he waited out. He did some soul searching over his lost condition. He realized his sin. He realized the rule of self, self-righteousness, pride, their being without God, without his son, without hope. They were willing to get lost. A lot of people say, oh yeah, I'm lost. They put one hand in the plow looking back. But I'm really not that bad when I compare myself to that girl. You ought to see the girls that I wear. You ought to see the guys I wear. You ought to hear the language out of so-and-so. You ought to see what the world is like. Let me tell you, the night I got saved, I wasn't thinking about everyone else. I was thinking about me and my lost condition before God. How sinful I was. How lost I was. How undone I was. I wasn't thinking about the other guys in the barracks. Maybe more sinful than I was. That night I was the chief of sinners. I was lost. I was hell bound. I wasn't comparing myself among others. Find here that a lost person realizes their condition according to the Scriptures. The wrath of God is upon the sinner. They dig deep. They consider the law breaking of God's commandments. They don't try to justify themselves. They receive the conviction of sin. by the Holy Spirit to affect them. They don't push it away. They don't justify themselves as the religious Pharisees. They dig deep. They were seeking transparency before God and man. They weren't hypocrites like the Pharisees. They dig deep. Sure foundation. A sound foundation to build a life for Christ. Before they build, they're making sense. In other words, they're weighing this thing out. They're coming clean with God. They're making sense of my condition before God, my need of a Lord and Savior. It's making sense to them. And so what they do is they exercise faith in the work of Christ on the cross and His resurrection. They built a house. They dig deep. Different for the lost person. Notice back here in chapter 6, if you would. And notice, if you would please, in chapter 6, where the Bible says, verse 49, "He that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth." Go back with me, please, to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. And notice how Jesus put it here in verse 26. The Bible says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand." Notice back to Matthew 5, verse 20. Matthew 5, verse 20. And notice what Jesus says here about the religious man. The Bible says, Matthew 5, verse 20, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, shall no case enter the kingdom of heaven." You understand that? In other words, the Pharisees had no righteousness. They had none. They were unrighteous. But see, outwardly, and that was their righteousness, which is no righteousness, their outward acts. Jesus said, unless your life exceeds the scribes and Pharisees, you'll no case enter in. That's why it's so important, professing Christian. I'm not trying to get you to doubt. I'm not. That's not my intent. Not in my heart. But I'm asking you to examine yourself. See, I examine myself. Do I live for Christ? Do I love the Lord? Does my life align to the Bible? Do I walk in the Spirit? Do I read my Bible? Do I pray? Do I fear God? Do I give my tithe and offerings? Do I live a separate life? Do I witness for Christ? Do I experience the power of God in my life? Do I know what it is to be led by the Spirit? Do I know what it is to conquer sin in my life? Amen. To all those. To all those. And it's not because I'm a preacher. It has nothing to do with it. And I say to you that it's important for you to examine yourself. Notice as simple as this, beloved, here in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Notice what happens here in verse 26. "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine." So people have heard this and doeth them not. Now that's not hard to figure out, right? They've heard what the truth is, but they don't live the truth. Jesus said, your house is built on sand. It's not built on the rock. And the reason is because you did not dig deep. You didn't get lost. You made a profession of faith. You played the game. You were not dealing with sin. And this is a religious person. They're foolish because they're concerned about appearance. The outward, not the inward. No one can see the inward. So how I peer outwardly, that's my salvation. Even though I know I'm not saved, but that's my salvation. I'm going to act like I am. I'm going to live in such a way so people think I'm a Christian. You talking about deception? You talking about lying to self? Notice Matthew 23, verse 27, please. Matthew 23, 27. "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." See, that's the way people are today. Surface, shallow, superficial. How do I appear? Oh, you appear just like a whited sepulcher. You're beautiful. I love the bushes around it and the ornate gate of a mausoleum, which is full of dead men's bones, of rottenness. But see, lost people, rather, at least I appear whited. I appear righteous.
I want people to think I'm a good person. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. Don't you fear God? Don't you fear God? That's the question. Don't you fear the Lord? Forget about what men think. They may be in the same congregation as you are at the great white throne judgment. What does God think? How do you stand before God? What are you concerned about your image for? Why? I don't want people to think wrong of me. Well, why don't you get saved then? So God will think right about you and everyone else think right about you. But see, that's the hypocrite. That's the false professor. That's the superficiality. That's the surface. That's the fear of man. That's performance-based acceptance. What do people think? You know, Jesus said about that to the Pharisees, they have their reward. What's the reward? Oh, the people go by and say, oh, look at the Pharisee. Oh, isn't his prayer wonderful? That's his reward. But you know, he's going to hear from God, depart from me. I never knew you. You that work iniquity. That's what they're going to hear from the Son of God. See, how do you know? Because that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. See, they're concerned about their appearance. Not concerned about God. Not concerned about God's glory. Obeying God. But acceptance by man. Notice chapter 23, verse 3. Notice verse 3 here of chapter 23. The Bible says, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works. Why? For they say and do not. They're hypocrites. They're foolish because they don't face what they are. Preacher, I have a hard time facing what I am. Well, what are your options? What are your options? Let's say that you're working in the backyard and trying to get your backyard straightened out, and all of a sudden you get a real, real bad cut. I mean, I'm talking about that long on your thigh and about that deep. Now, what would you suggest, doctor? Clean it out? But it's real deep. And get what? Stitches. Those things happen. So there they are and they're saying, oh, yeah, I'm bleeding. Look how much I'm bleeding. They're soaked. The blood is coming out and so on and so forth. So what are your options? You can bleed to death. Or you go to the hospital and get fixed. Here are your options. You get saved and live for God, or you continue living like a hypocrite. And die and go to hell. The Bible's very plain, beloved. This is not hard to figure out. They're foolish because they don't want to face what they are. They're sinners, they're iniquitous, they're lawbreakers, they're rebels. Their hearts are filled with self, self-will, selfishness, listen, self-love, and self-pity. No love for God. Their foundation is sand, not rock, not the scriptures. It's based on their own thinking, their what they do and how they do it in their way. And so they have the approval of man. That's how it is with them. They're foolish. Outward usurps the inward. It rules, it's work salvation. Luke 6:46, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? They may read the scriptures, they may pray each day, they may live a separated life, but they won't repent. They may dress right. They may be separated from the world. They don't smoke, drink, or any of those things. Yet they won't repent. They built their life on sand, not on God's word, but rather their own religion, their own belief system, their own will, their own selves, their own pride. And they both built, the third thing, they both built in the same location, similar homes. Because they looked alike. This reminds me of a New Testament church setting. The saved and the unsaved. Those who attend the service have never been born again. The similarities. But they're only outward. They're not inward. The difference is what the house or lives are built upon. It's built upon a rock, built upon the sand. See the dishonesty. Here's the problem with loss, not always, but many times. The dishonesty. Who knows? Who knows about this? Here's my answer to that. Who cares? Who cares who knows? What does God think? How does God see it? That's what's important, beloved. It's not what you and I or who knows. What does God think about it? Amen. The foolish do not confront or deal with their sin. They excuse it. They excuse other sins, especially if they like them. They're self-sufficient. They're self-satisfied. They're self-righteous. They're self-willed. Outwardly, they appear to be right. Here's a good verse of Scripture. Speaking about the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Image, image, image. How do I appear? How am I accepted? What do they think of me? Here's the gospel message. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Acts 6:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, not in yourself or any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is the foundation, God's word by which we're saved, by which we live. So notice the comparison, notice the contrast, and last of all, notice the consequences. I want you to see this in Matthew chapter 7, if you would. Matthew chapter 7. And notice the words of Jesus here. Verse 27, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and the beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Over in Luke chapter 6, but verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that hath a foundation built, without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, I have to tell you, beloved, that Jesus just didn't use any word. He speaks here about the rains, the sin, the floods came, the wind blew. Luke 6, the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house. Both portions speak of the trying of houses, the lives, the belief system. The wise builder had built his house upon the word of God, the solid rock, the sure foundation. We find here that the storm pictures trials. Testings, tribulations from the world, the flesh, the devil. And we find in the other person who built his house on the sand, we find here, the Bible tells us that he had the same storms. The one on the rock, hey, it shook a little bit, but he stood firm. The one on the sand, here's what the Bible says, beloved. Matthew 7, it fell and great was the fall of it. Now, why did Jesus use the word great was the fall of it? Because it didn't have to happen. He heard the truth. She heard the truth. But they just did it their way. Their way. You know, life is so interesting at times and of all its complications. You think about what we juggle on a regular basis, weekly, monthly. Life. Our own self-talk. Our marriage. Our family. Problems. Employment. Responsibilities. Bills to pay. Mortgages to take care of. Cars that need to be fixed. All the things that we have to deal with on a regular basis. And if you're gonna go through life successful, whether in marriage, in your family, in your responsibilities, your employment, you've got to look at things honestly. Otherwise, they don't turn out. If you're going down the road and your thermometer on your car is sky high, hot, and the steam coming out, you've got to say maybe there's something wrong. If you don't, you're going to blow that engine. Got to be honest. Evaluate things. Jesus said, they heard my sayings. They heard my teaching. They heard the truth. But with a cavalier spirit, they go and build a house upon a sand, not upon the rock. They didn't dig deep, just built it. It looked like this neighbor. It looked just like those church members. Matter of fact, in some cases, my house is better. Wrong. It's built on sand. You may have some nicer things inside. There may be a nicer furniture. There may be some better quality. But it's built upon sand. And when it ends, great was the fall thereof. It was great because it wasn't great. It was overwhelming. It's devastating. Great. Didn't have to be that way. Why? Because the Son of Man came not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's why. For God so loved the world. What did He do? He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish. Didn't have to be that way. It didn't have to be devastating. It should have been a wonderful experience passed from this life into the next life. But it was a great fall. Unnecessary. But they were not honest. They were more concerned about how they appeared. Matthew 7:27, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. The unsaved hope and confidence is worthless. It's worthless. It doesn't matter how they feel or what they think. Well, I'm going to go 6 foot. I'm going to live for. I'm going to come back. I believe in coming back as a different person. So it doesn't matter. They're all lies. There's no proof of that. But there's proof of the resurrection. And God said He put it in every man's heart. You're either going to resurrect to life eternal, or you're going to resurrect and stand before Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. The Bible says in Luke 14, the ruin of that house was great. And it fell, and great was the fall thereof. See, the Lord is speaking of man's soul. To die without Christ, to die lost, to be separated from God forever, to lose one's soul, to perish forever in hell, the lake of fire, to be without salvation when you die. It's a great fall. It's a great loss. Because you could have been saved. But you wasted it away. You neglected. Now let me tell you something about human nature. We'll close. There are some right now that are greatly troubled. You see, I described their life. I didn't really, but God used the verses, the message to speak to their heart about them. Because that's what they are. They're concerned about image. And when a message like that is preached, it upsets their religion. Enough for them to disappear. Enough for them to get mad. Enough for them to begrudge. Enough for them because they didn't settle their salvation. They didn't repent or trust Christ. They made a profession. They tried to work this thing out, but it hasn't worked. Because it's not real. It's not real. But here's what God wants you to do. He doesn't trouble your heart to just trouble you or upset you. He troubles you for one purpose. So that you might repent and trust Christ. You might repent and trust Christ. You say, preacher, I've repented lots of times. I've trusted Christ. No, you haven't. Not if you're not saved. Repentance is turning to God. Faith is turning to God. From what? From sin, self, Satan. From your idols. With the intent of serving the living true God. Trusting that Jesus will save you as you turn to God. That's salvation. Nothing more, nothing less. So what is your salvation built upon? Sure foundation of the Word of God? The sure foundation of the Word of God? Or is it built on sand? Your thoughts, your philosophy, maybe a little mixture of mysticism and the Bible. Maybe a little bit of this preacher, that preacher, him, her. Maybe a little bit of Catholicism, a little bit of Protestantism, a little bit of Scripture. Your hope better be built upon the solid rock of Scriptures and upon the Lord Jesus Christ. If not, you're not making it, period. So I'll prove you wrong, preacher. Well, we'll have to find out. But the difference is, I've got the Bible. What do you got? What do you have? Your feelings? Your thoughts? What some other Christian told you? You better have the book. You better have the Word of God. Otherwise, you're standing on sand. And you know that sand changes. There's no stability there. But there is on the eternal Word of God. So you saved or you lost? It's time to come clean and get it settled once and forevermore. And if you are saved, you're to rejoice that you know the Lord, that your sins are gone, that you've been saved by God's grace. You're to worship God and praise Him and thank Him for that today. Let's stand on our feet, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and no one looking around. Thank you for this time. Thank you for thy word.